You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Canada has said yes to legal recreational marijuana. October 17th is when our Canadian neighbors can legally get high on cannabis. And on November 6th, Michiganders will vote on whether or not to legalize recreational marijuana. All of which raises a vital question: how to best identify buzzed driving. Dr. Andrea Furlan has been digging into that very question. She's a staff physician and senior scientist at the Toronto Rehabilitation Institute and an associate professor in the Department of Medicine at the University of Toronto. Doctor, you've got the most advanced driving simulator in Canada at Toronto Rehab. Tell us about this IDAPT driver lab.
Yes, it's an underground complete driving simulator. It's an Audi 3 in a 300-degree dome that we put this car in an immersive virtual reality, and the driver inside this car has a complete field of view, a 360-degree projection system. We can actually simulate real rain with water splashing on the windshield. We can simulate rural, urban scenarios. We can simulate a day and night. And the participants said to us that this is very realistic. It's almost like a driving on road.
So what are some of the major research questions that you and your team are looking into through working in this IDAPT driver lab?
Yes, because this driver lab is in the basement of our hospital, Toronto Rehab, we have the opportunity to recruit a lot of patients and people who have cognitive impairment. One of the focus of our main research is looking at seniors and what is safe for them to drive, because we want to keep them driving as long as possible. The other big area of research will be the effects of drugs like opioids, antidepressants, sleeping pills, and of course cannabis, which is the topic of the day, especially with a lot of our patients using medical marijuana, and also those who are going to use for recreational purposes.
Now, Dr. Furlan, I understand that not all impaired driving is created equal. Tell us, what are the major differences between driving while drunk and driving while high?
When people use alcohol, the effects on the brain are different from cannabis. The alcohol affects the judgment first. The first thing that goes is the ability to realize that person is doing silly things, is acting like stupid. That's called the judgment. It's right in the frontal lobe of the brain. Alcohol impairs that. Cannabis does not, which is interesting, because when people are under the influence of cannabis, they still know they are conscious about the impairment. So there is an opportunity for the person using cannabis to self-regulate, to determine if this is safe or not to do. Unfortunately, a lot of people who use cannabis for recreational purposes, like a party, on a weekend, they use both cannabis and alcohol. Different from our patients who use medical marijuana for medicinal purposes, they avoid alcohol. They know that this is not a good mixture. So if they use alcohol and cannabis together, they will be impaired by the alcohol, but also different areas of the brain will be impaired by cannabis, and they will be much more impaired than only one substance.
How do you feel when you watch these folks in the driver lab and in your simulator? How do the differences between alcohol and cannabis, how do they show up in driving styles?
Usually people under the influence of alcohol, they drive faster. They get much closer to the car in front of them. They also do a lot of maneuvers that are not safe. And of course, they are more sleepy or their attention is reduced. People under the influence of cannabis, they tend to drive slower. And that's not because they are driving safer. It's because the reaction time is much impaired. So they take many more seconds compared to a person that is not impaired by cannabis to react to a stimulus in front of them. People under the influence of cannabis, they're not only driving slower, they also have a distorted perception of time and distorted perception of space. The brain is giving that information that is not totally accurate. That's why they probably keep a longer distance. But if something happens in front of them and they need to react to some stimulus in front of them, they will not react fast enough. And that's when they may get into trouble. On the other hand, we also know that depending on how much THC is a substance in the cannabis plant that causes the euphoria, the high, the higher the substance in the brain, more euphoric they get, and they may be taking risks. They may be doing more maneuvers that are unsafe just because they think that they have superpowers or they can do those things and nothing will happen to them.
If you've just joined us, I'm speaking with Dr. Andrea Furlan, who is with the Toronto Rehabilitation Institute and also the Department of Medicine at the University of Toronto, as we talk about figuring out and controlling buzzed driving as we see more and more states and certainly Canada getting on board with legal recreational marijuana. What about policing? How do the accepted roadside tests that we've seen for drunk driving, how do they do for police in identifying buzz driving?
Yeah, this is a new field for police because it's not the same thing as testing alcohol. There is no equivalent of the blood alcohol concentration. Like everybody knows, if there is more than 0.08% in the blood, you are impaired. There's no equivalent in the cannabis because people develop tolerance to the effect of cannabis, the THC. Like our patients who use THC regularly, daily for many years, the body develops this tolerance and the psychotropic effects are not observed anymore. So, but they will still be tested positive in the saliva or blood or urine. The other problem is also some people may use like a cannabis, they may smoke a joint in the weekend, but they may test positive on Monday morning when they go to work or when they're driving because that substance can stay in the body for days. So testing body fluids is not the best approach. On the other hand, police enforcers, they started using the same, you know, the tests that they use when that someone is drunk, like the field sobriety test, that they have to walk in a straight line, they have to stand in one leg, they observe the eye movements. That is still not validated for the effects of cannabis because cannabis affects the brain differently. It's not the same functions that alcohol does. So we still need to do a lot of research to validate what are the roadside tests that detect impairment. I really believe, and our group is trying to develop some behavioral tests, things that we could look in a screen of a computer. They do some tests in the computer or a tablet, or even in the future, what I think will happen in the future, we'll be able to install in the car, like a screen that the person will have to do some tests, and that will be able to detect if they are impaired by any drug, not only cannabis, but could be able to detect alcohol, antidepressants, opioids, and if they don't pass the test, the car will not even start. That will be our dream in the future.
Bottom line, doctor, how long do you think someone should wait after they have used cannabis until they drive or they work in a safety-sensitive job?
If they smoked or vaporized forms, which go much faster to the brain, we recommend them to wait 6 hours just to be safe. After they use the last joint, wait for 6 hours. Some people are less, some people are more, but to be safe, we tell 6. If they use an edible form, like an ingested oil or brownie, or they eat the leaves or a tea, we tell them to wait 10 and sometimes 12 hours. We're going to use the driver lab in our hospital to test exactly this. How long is it safe? What is exactly the period? And because it depends on so many variables, how much THC it has in the substance, it depends if the person is already tolerant or not. It depends if they're using for medical purposes that has more CBD than THC. So there are many variables in the system, and we hope to find those answers soon.
Dr. Andrea Furlan, who's with the University of Toronto Department of Medicine and the Toronto Rehabilitation Institute. Doctor, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Cindy.